Hello, hello, hello. How are we doing?
Good, welcome to this is the new segment, which is Play Till Your Mum Calls You In For Your Tea, which is a game of, or a podcast of undefined length, flying in the face of the name of the podcast, which is... But look, we've been having gossip all week, but it's very rare that we are joined by Gareth Rest Westhead.
So, apologies, everyone. Apologies. Sincerest, yeah. No less.
Well, mate, you've had a lot on. Obviously, a young family has to take precedence, but also it's been a busy week. Obviously, last week we spoke at length this time last week about the various games that were coming up. Obviously, there was playoff games, which you predicted, and we'll talk about your predictions. And then obviously,
of course, looking forward to that one.
There was the Euro Poo League final, which was yesterday. And we've obviously got the forthcoming Coupe de Champions Europeans, as is written on the trophy, aka the Champions League, formerly known as the European Cup, which is coming up on Saturday. So lots to talk about. So we, and obviously Gareth, who loves if any of you followed the vlogs that started off this particular franchise of ours, Gareth was always a fan of dropping names like Thomas Tuchel. Julian Nagelsmann was always a favorite following Red Bull, and obviously the new one that he was following is Union Berlin, who played the decisive two-legged
playoff. Gripping match, no less. It was a gripping 0-0.
Yeah.
But yeah, where do you want to start then? Do you want to start on the predictions?
Let's start at the beginning,
for the
mate.
Playoffs.
So we obviously had the three playoffs. We had Newport County v Tranmere. We had Charlton v Sunderland. And then we had Frank Lampard's Derby County versus Aston Villa. So take it away, Res.
Well, I mean, look, first and foremost, how many of them did you watch?
So I was away with my mates in the Lewis, or Lewis. I don't know how you pronounce it.
I saw that. I saw your Instagram football trick, kicking the ball into what was that? A kind of trampoline, a kid's trampoline or something?
Yeah, kid's trampoline. So I sent it both Billy Wingrove and Jeremy Lynch of FC Fame.
Yes, you did.
Responded, Jeremy responded with one laughing emoji and then a load of clapping hands emojis, and Billy responded with get in their bids. So
understanding. So that's you made then, the F3 coming, no less.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it looked really weird the way I kicked the ball, actually. Like, there was not much.
That's just because you're a left footer like me.
There was not much backlift and absolutely no follow through, but I still managed to get. It was like chipping a nine. I don't know what a 9-iron is, but it sounds like the right. It was like chipping a 9-iron onto the fairway. Sorry, onto the green. So
you did well. You did well. You a good bit of rimming in there. You got just rimmed the edge of the trampoline,
did.
Didn't you?
And like, put it on there. It's, there's no better feeling than when it goes around the rim and then goes in.
Anyway, moving on. Look, so as everyone is probably fully aware, thousands upon thousands of tweets that I got off the back of it, my predictions are wholeheartedly incorrect. So I desperately wanted Newport to go up because they've got a very good brewery there, and Bolton versus Newport in League One would have been fantastic. Alas, Tranmere won in the final minute of extra time.
I do know who scored, Connor Jennings. And do you know what distinction... Or what's? Do you remember when Connor Jennings first made the headlines?
No.
So, aged 18, he actually signed for Bayern Munich.
Is that him?
Yeah, that was him.
Bloody hell, and now he's at trash Tranmere. Now he's at Tranmere. Bloody hell.
Nobody knew. I don't know where he signed from, but I just remember he signed really randomly for Bayern Munich. And maybe it was. I would like to say, and I'll just say it anyway, that someone from Bayern Munich discovered him on Championship Manager and just signed him. But,
probably, yeah.
But yeah, he signed. So former Bayern Munich player Connor Jennings. Got the goal.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't hold any love towards Tranmere whatsoever, but because of historical reasons and Bolt Wanderers and whatnot. But, you know, as a fan of a football club like that, you've had to put up with a lot of rubbish for a long time. And I remember when John Barnes went to manage there once upon a time, but fair play to them. You know, they fought their way back and they're in League One. And no doubt they'll give us a ton of jit when we play the next season. Bearing in mind, we'll be starting off the league with at least minus 12, but more like minus 20 points if we don't have a squad. So they'll probably beat us. But, you know, that's the beautiful game,
quick,
isn't it?
Quick question. Did you ever play that game against Brentford in the end? Or did it just not go? Did it go unplayed?
No, it was Brentford were, what's the word I'm looking for? Allocated, allowed, given, whatever the terminology is. A 1-0 win, which is awarded. Probably better than we'd have actually awarded. There you go. Probably better than what we'd have done if we actually played the bloody game anyway. So I'll take that, losing 1-0 to Brentford. So they did do the double over us this season, but they didn't, if that makes sense.
That's true. I mean, it's a shame, isn't it? Because, like, I just can't believe that the footballing fraternity hasn't done more. Even the Sharks could have done something better. Like, let's say some team comes in, like, let's say United, for example, right? Who let's face it, it shouldn't be left to the likes of, was it Wigan to provide the money to the food banks?
Preston made a donation of food vouchers.
When you've got City illegally buying tomatoes,
then they
can at least, again, with the sports washing, they could easily spare some money. But United should definitely be doing it. United should, like, with our history as well, when we were on our knees after, actually, maybe that's the reason why we didn't. Actually, no, that's a bad joke to make. But I was going to say, sorry, the joke I was going to make was we were on our knees after Munich. Everyone came to our aid, but then we had the 1958 FA Cup final against you lot, which, you know, was controversial goal into it. But
which one? We won the bloody game 2-0. It wasn't controversial too. We did, yeah. We did big time.
United should have sent something across. Liverpool, for again, you know, obviously I don't want to pick on them in particular, but they are virtue signalers. We all know they are. Didn't help a bean. Everton again, they're still scousers.
Everton coughed. Yeah, I can't remember what they did, but they either sent some money or some food or some food vouchers, but they definitely did something. I think for me, do you know what? Obviously, as a Bolton Wanderers fan, I've watched and read everything that's happened with our bastard of an owner, previous owner, right?
Yeah.
And I think I said in the last podcast, it's been painful to watch and it's been painful to go through, but the overriding kind of thing that I've taken out of it and the thing that's kind of pleased me is everyday football fans that have done stuff. So, like, Villa have tweeted us and they've sent up food parcels. Everton have done the same. But it's just normal football fans, which is ironic that you've said all these football clubs should be doing something. Of course they should. But at the end of the day, they're all run as businesses. And they don't care about, or you know, what the impact is truly. And, you know, it's just yet another devastating sign that our game is where it's at. Anyway, look, we're talking about playoffs.
Yeah, talking about the playoffs. So did Mike Dean get on TV, first of all?
Of course he did.
Important thing. Brilliant. What was he
doing? Of course he did, yeah.
Was he stood on a...
Do you mean Mike Dean's Tranmere Rovers?
Was he stood on a seat giving it the
laugh? No, he was very over the top in the gangway with either his daughter or his partner hanging off the back of him, which was just a bit surreal because we never see Mike Dean being hugged by anyone, but he was being hugged by some female. And then look, you know, I said Sunderland to beat Charlton, and I couldn't be more wrong. But Charlton, I mean, fair play to them again, scoring a last-minute winner. I think they scored in the 94th minute of added on injury. It's fucking beautiful to watch. Proper football.
Like, I don't particularly hold this view because I don't care about Sunderland. I think, you know, I'm not arsed about them. But a lot of United fans have not forgotten the way that they reacted after City scored the Aguero goal. They started doing the Ponza and they started to take the piss out of us and all of that. And Fergie apparently made reference to it at the end of season dinner where he said, look, I'm a winner. I made all the players watch the Sunderland fan doing the Ponza and just said, always remember this moment. And obviously it powered us on to win the league the next season. So, but a lot of United fans haven't forgotten it. And, you know, they were taking the piss out of Sunderland. I mean, look, Sunderland, I think, will probably come up again next season. But I don't like Lee Bowyer, to be honest with you. I think he's allegedly not a very nice guy. There's obviously incidents throughout his career. You know, the barking McDonald's incident, the alleged barking McDonald's incident.
Yeah.
That shows that he's not exactly... obviously, fair play to him. He wasn't involved in the Woodgate incident at all, really. He was off somewhere else. But yeah, I don't think he's a nice guy. And I don't think Charlton is the nicest area of London in terms of, you know... I mean, you know, I could call it probably a bit Brexity in the set.
Should we move it on? Should we stick to the football? And then, obviously, of course, finally... Dean Smith's Aston Villa versus Frank Lampard's Derby County. So I watched all three games in part, right? And I thought Newport track, like 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there and whatnot. And I thought Newport probably tried harder than Tranmere, but Tranmere played the better game. I think Charlton Sunderland, I mean, there was an awful goalkeeper mistake that led to the first Sunday. It was absolutely diabolical.
Yeah, but I saw that.
Talk about character, and you know they kind of flew all on the line, and they, you know, they got the goal, so fair play to them. But I think for Villa versus Derby, Villa looked so confident, polished, and professional, and Derby were just weren't quite at that level. And I think maybe that's testament to, you know, maybe where the two squads are. Obviously, Frank Lampard's Derby County didn't have a ridiculous amount of money to spend, even though they did have a bit to spend. And he worked and played the loan system well with his people he knows at Chelsea and whatnot. But it just wasn't quite there. And I think in hindsight, and trying to be objective here, for Derby to have gone up, I think at the beginning of the season would have been a surprise. For them to get to the playoff final, maybe less so. But look, in his first season, he got them to, was it a League Cup semi-final?
Ooh.
FA Cup quarter-final. Frank Lampard's Derby County. Sorry, that's my phone going off.
I thought Frank Lampard's Derby County. Oh, the League Cup.
League Cup semi-final, didn't they?
No, they didn't. It was one semi-final was City versus Burton, and the other one was Spurs v Chelsea.
Oh, forgive me. Then it was a quarter-final then, wasn't it?
You're going to have to forgive
anyway,
me.
Anyway, look, as a first season, 46 games, a half-decent League Cup run and a half-decent FA Cup run. That's not bad going for a manager in his first season.
Well, they did better than certain other clubs that have got so-called legendary managers that they said were apparently going to storm the league. So,
well, they won the league at Christmas, if I think we know who we're talking about. But then they didn't, did they?
No, but do you know what? They would have filled Wembley twice over on their own.
Well, of course, you know. But moving on, can I just give a reference to my dear friends in Berlin? Union Berlin, the best football team in Berlin, and arguably the most infectious fans in the whole of Germany.
What's happened to Hertha Berlin? Where are they?
They're still in top. They're still in the Bundesliga One.
Oh, right, okay. And how many other Berlin teams are there? Isn't there 1860? No, that's Munich, isn't it? 1860.
Oh, bloody hell. Come on, Bidan. Lonely
German teams. How many Berlin teams are there?
There's only two that are kind of professional. The rest played in third or the regional leagues in Bundesliga.
Right, so there's only Union and Hertha.
Yeah, that are the main.
Okay, and do Union Berlin share the Olympic Stadium or have they got the...
No, they're in East Germany, mate. They're in East Germany. I can't even remember the name of the stadium, but it's fantastic. I went there, it was 24,000, all terrace. They get the keys out of corners. I don't know if I said this in the last podcast or not. They get their keys out of corners and they shake them.
Nice.
Sorry. They have very, very random kind of celebrations and whatnot. But for them to go up for the first time in have, I can't remember how many years a BT commentator said, but in classic German fashion, they celebrated by getting massive 4-pint glasses of beer and pouring on each other's heads.
Yeah,
that's proper, man.
I've seen this tradition. Like, I also saw it at Bayern Munich's title party. I think Arjen Robben poured one over Niko Kovac, the Bayern Munich manager.
Yeah.
So I think
it's great, well done, and I look forward to seeing Berlin Derby. So it's interesting, obviously. So it's East, or Hertha Berlin West Germany. So it's East versus West Germany.
Exactly.
Even though from the same city.
Yeah, politics, isn't it, bro? Politics.
It'd be great if the ground was actually, the halfway line was on the old Berlin Wall, and there was a piece of the Berlin Wall still there. All graffitied up into it.
And then apparently there's a football match on a planet called Baku or something yesterday. What happened in that?
So it was, of course, the Europa League final. It was
yes,
Chelsea versus Arsenal. Now, obviously, you had to get several injections. Stuff the fans had to get injections before handing out there, and God, you know how many trains and planes and rockets and who knows what.
And, did you see the footage doing the rounds? By the way,
of what
you see a lad in an Arsenal shirt with Mkhitaryan and seven on the back of whatever it was. The copper stopped him.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, look, it's not like that's just awful. It's just like, what? We all know why it did happen. Why the stopping happened, but why the match was actually played in Azerbaijan, which actually is going to host four games in Euro 2020, isn't it? So,
yeah.
More problems there, but you know, the game itself, I thought, first of all, it looked like the Barclays Asia Trophy was being played. The atmosphere was dead.
Yes, yes.
The camera angle was weird.
Oh, dang.
There was a green screen.
They might as well have been shooting it from Sputnik or something. Do you know what I mean?
It'd be interesting. I might look on YouTube if anyone did anything with the green screen. So obviously they put a green screen up around the pitch.
Yeah. To cover the running track.
Yeah, that was awful. They put two massive shirts behind the goals. That was kind of all right. But they showed the different ends of the different, it didn't seem like your very, you know, your typical Chelsea Cockney racist went to the game. It kind of looked a fairly international looking Chelsea end.
Exactly. A very much an exhibition match for the gentry of, you know, these countries that, of course, understandably want to take part in the big tournaments and they want to host these events. And rightly, they should host these events, but at least make it bloody accessible and at least make it welcoming, you know. And it looked like you said, end of season pre-season tournament, whereby no bugger wants to be there, but every bugger has to be there because it's part of the marketing drive that respective clubs are on. So I feel, honestly, at least if you're a Chelsea fan, you've gone out there, you've seen Hazard perform wonderfully and say goodbye, you've seen your team win, and then you've got the journey back. For the poor bloody Arsenal fans that, you know, I've seen they've gone all the way there, see their team lose, and then come all the way back.
That's all I can say. I mean, like, I'm not really going to have much sympathy with Arsenal fans. I think that they're very gobby.
No, but I mean, it's football fans, isn't it? It's football fans. If Manchester United would have got to that stage, and you'd have had the opportunity to go, you'd have probably gone, "Nah, sod this. I'm not going to go."
The only team that I think would have sold that stadium out would be.
Okay, moving on. Can I just make one question? Because obviously the big game's on Saturday evening and we'll probably spend 2.5 minutes on that at least. But kudos to the wonderful Celtic FC who won the treble, no less. Of all the 9 trophies available domestically, they've won all of them over the last 3 seasons. Now, people say, a fish could manage in Scotland. It's neither in or there. My phone went off then. Yeah, it's neither in or there. You can only manage what's in front of you. Kudos to Neil Lennon. Kudos to Scott Brun, who everyone hates. But at the end of the day, they have been the best team in Scotland. Glasgow Rangers are nowhere near them. The highlight for me of the season wasn't so much Celtic dominating the way they did. It was more the fact that Neil Lennon took on the job and adjusted to the job quite quickly after Brendan fancied himself and went south, which I understand why. I don't have a problem with that, but he's come across quite arrogant since. It's the fact that Steve Clarke did an incredible job at Kilmarnock, and although he didn't win the trophy by his own admission, he's gone on and got the top job in Scotland. Okay, it might not be the top job for any Englishman, but you can only travel as far as you can within your confines. So he's got a very honourable job in the Scotland job, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah. Did you see that Celtic crept into the KPMG top 30 richest clubs in the world?
No, yeah, because they're a very well-run club and they're a massive football club.
Yeah, I think they got 30. They were 30 out of 30. Top spots, do you know who that went to?
Real Madrid? Real Madrid, that is?
Yeah, Real Madrid. And second was Manchester United. I think that they were £2 million. No, £200 million. No, £2 million. I don't know. Worth.
During
World War. Wait. So 3 point. We are. I think they were 3.22 and we are 3.20 billion, right? So that is 20 million. Yeah. So, yeah, we're 20 million, worth 20 million less than they are, which is fair enough.
I think you once said that it's the most important league in the world, the financial league.
It is, because, forget the trophies, forget the accolades,
forget the meaning of the game, forget the essence of the game.
Yeah.
So go on then. Let's move on to the pointless trophy that is the Champions League.
Yeah. So my predictions.
I know we did this last week, but still.
Jamie Carragher was complaining that, and I, the reason I'm mentioning this is that I kind of agree with him. He wanted to know why there was why it's being played so late on in the season, right?
I agree.
Well, Italy only finished their league last week. So what did you want them to do? Have a finalist, have the Champions League final play on Saturday and then on Sunday again? Do you know what I mean? You can't do that. I think that Italy was finishing late.
Do you know what they should do? UEFA should have a long, hard look at themselves and at least move it forward to the Wednesday. The way it used to be, Champions League final on a Wednesday night.
True, but they moved it on a Saturday. Do you know why?
Yeah, because of international TV rights.
No, because apparently they wanted families to attend, because you can't attend if you're...
Oh, jog on.
Yeah, because the £300 jog on. Ticket price is no...
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't take my kids' wife because it's late at night. Jog on, Bidan. Anyway, go on. Jamie Carragher, 3 weeks.
Yeah, he complained about the time. He said it plays into Spurs' hands, and I think I agree with him. I think that, they've got Harry Kane fit now. I think Harry Kane will start. I can imagine him starting and breaking down. But I hope he doesn't. I hope he rattles a couple in. But like I said, heart says Tottenham. Head says Liverpool. But I don't think it's by any means... Look, I've prepared myself for Liverpool win. Right, and it's really weird in the sense, I remember we said that the City did the treble and it's not affected any of us and we don't care. I kind of would feel the same about Liverpool, because it feels like it could, like, the thing is that when they won it in 2005, it came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And it was just they went from being absolutely nothing to just achieving the pinnacle, right?
Yeah
But they'll still feel let down by this season a bit, because they didn't win the league.
Yeah,
97 points. And for me,
their benchmark, though. They're so bloody good. Unless we're in a normal season without City, they'd have blitzed the league themselves.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, I personally think that you only get as many points as the chaser gets you, if you get what I mean, allows you to get, if you get what I mean. So it's like,
yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, of course. But there's a reason they got that many points. I'm with you.
They would have won the league, to be honest with you. That they would have won the league if it had not been for City. But then again, look, City not being as good would have a knock-on effect to the entire league, and maybe the entire league would have come up. And you just don't know, do you? It's just difficult to tell.
No, very true.
But
I think for what it's worth, I think it would be a bit more like a tick box exercise if Liverpool won the trophy. Like there's probably an element of they deserve to win it because they didn't win the league and they've been such an incredible team in Europe this season. But just that, and I said this last time, just the manner and the emotion that went into Tottenham, and it was just fucking glorious football. It was so good to watch. And it wasn't even technically the best football. It wasn't like they completely outplayed Ajax. They were just prepared to die for it. And that just got them through. And there's definitely the kind of romantic side to me. Would love to see Tottenham do it, because I think I admire Pochettino so much. Like the fact that he hasn't had any money to spend, you know, like he's got a good squad. He built his squad up. He hasn't any money to spend. And obviously the idea, of course, is if you have a lot of money to spend, then you're going to win the league. But as you well know, that's not the case at all. But he's got this team that believes in him and he believes in them. And that's the kind of shit that you need, you know, like not to compare the two, but I'm about to. But Sheffield United got promoted automatically because they had this ridiculous team spirit and togetherness. And that is worth more than any £60 million player in some instances. So I would love to see them win it, but I don't think I could cope with the domino effect of our friends giving us a hard time about the amount of abuse we've given Spurs fans over the years. But it's worth it if football is the winner. Small, credit where credit's due, innit? Credit where credit's due. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I would want Spurs to win it. I am a resident of North London. I live in the Enfield Borough. I can see Tottenham's ground from my flat. I would go to the parade 100%. I would sing Coys. I would sing... I would sing Come On You Coys when the Coys go marching in. Everything, Harry Kane, you know, Eric Dyer loves me, all those chants, whatever. I would be there. I would be there. I'd get my face painted. I'd get a Spurs.
He's one of our own. That's what they sing, isn't it? Harry Kane is one of our own.
Yeah. And so basically, I follow this vlogger on YouTube. So my mate, George Achillea, a very prominent Tottenham YouTube vlogger. Check him out, everybody.
Yes. Big friends of Thogden, yes.
And but also there's a guy called Expressions Oozing who is Ranson Bantz's brother. I met him at the Wembley Cup. I thought he was a knobhead, but he does make good vlogs, in fairness to him. He's very funny. He said he looks like Deontay Wilder, and he does a bit, but that's what he put on Instagram today. But go and check the two of them out. Link in the description below. I'll put in the metadata. I won't really, but you know, I know all the songs because of them. So I will go down. Somebody told me this, and I don't believe him, right? That apparently they're opening the stadium for a screening, right, of the game, and it's sold out. I don't believe
it. It has 62,000. It has. That's sold
really?
Out.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I read that yesterday, yeah.
That's insane.
It just sums up how great the achievement is.
Just sums them up. You've got to
so it. It sums up. It sums up.
Yeah, it sums them up, yeah.
So, well, let's tie this up because we're at 28 minutes here. Well, almost 29 minutes.
Your tea's almost ready. Your mum shouted, Gareth.
Well, to be honest, I'm running low on battery, I'm not going to lie. And I need to get to bed, man. Look at it. It's almost bloody 11 o'clock. I'm going to be up at bloody 2, 4 and 6 with the wee ones. Look, you know what happens next? Once Champions League's done, what are we on then?
Home Nations, there's League of Nations, and there's the Nations League. Home Nations, that was a great tournament back in the day. But anyway, look, League of Nations. Obviously, I want to see De Ligt play for Spurs. Not Spurs, De Ligt play for Holland. I think that...
Netherlands. The country's called the Netherlands. Thank you.
All right. They're not like... Raiola is trying to use Man United to get a better deal at Barcelona, I think. I think De Ligt will end up going to Barcelona. And if he comes to United, I actually don't want him because he'd only have come for the money. So, no thanks. He can jog on. And I don't want to do any deal with Raiola. If Raiola can...
Well, that's it. This is it. You've gone kind of full circle. You used to be the club you go to work hard, win stuff and earn some money. Now it's you go there just to win the lottery and you might play a bit and you don't win anything.
Yeah, so, exactly. So he can go. And just quickly, Marcus Rashford and Jesse Lingard came in for some criticism because...
With good reason. Are you talking about what they were wearing at the bloody Legends game?
Exactly. Everyone's like, there's some... like people who consider themselves to speak for all Man United fans are like on Twitter. There's a couple of dickheads. I fucking can't stand them. One guy called Scott Patterson, another guy called Nouruddin Bearded Genius, right? They're just kind
I know Bearded Genius,
They're kind of appointed themselves as like spokesman for Manchester United, or maybe they haven't appointed themselves, but they are the kind of go-to Manchester United figures for some reason. And they're both like, oh, well, why are you getting so... I never understand grown men getting pent up about what footballers are wearing and what about Bex and his sarong or Rio Ferdinand with his prank shows and all that kind of stuff. And it's quite simple, the difference. The difference is that Beckham was the second, if not the best player in the world between 99 and 2001, right? Got, you know, two Ballon d'Or runner-up. He should have won it. Won countless trophies, three leagues in a row, treble, European Cup, everything, FA Cups, all of that, right? And he worked his backside off on the pitch and was world-class. Same with Rio. Rio went and dominated the World Cup, became the world's most expensive defender, was the backbone of many title-winning teams. He can do that, right? Marcus Rashford has achieved, you know, not as much as them in the game. And Jesse Lingard is just a player for me, is a player without portfolio, and he's just awful. And that's why they can't afford to act.
I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, I think there's an... Look, it was obviously a Legends game. They're there, they've got to do the PR, they're there for the club, blah, 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 blah. My mum actually went to the game, by the way.
Really? How come?
I've no idea. I've yet to have the Inquisition. Like, how can she go to a Manchester United Legends game? To one Wanderers match all year.
What do Bolton fans call Old Trafford?
Oh, I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head. I don't think it's...
City fans call it the Swamp.
No, I don't. I've never heard him. And we just sing though. We took the Stretford End between the four of us. That's all.
Right. And Liverpool, rather weirdly, call it Castle Grayskull, which is weird because Castle Grayskull is the home of He-Man, who is the hero in the cartoon He-Man. Surely you'd want to call it after what the place where Skeletor lived, which I actually don't know what it's called. But obviously this old scaffold, which is... a rubbish name, an old toilet, which is also one of the names, but hey. So, all right, so she went. But just one last thing, Reth, about the Legends game, is that everyone was saying, oh, Bex could still play for United, Scholesy, blah, 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 right? Obviously, Bex couldn't play for United because obviously it's not a full-pace game and all that kind of stuff. But one thing I would say is that their brains...
Oh, yeah.
Footballing brains. You can see that Beckham can still move on a football pitch in terms of he just knows what positions to take up and when to play the ball, when to lay it off. And same with Scholesy as well. Like, I bet you in a training match, right, if he went into Carrington now and played alongside Paul Pogba in a training match, he would 100% outshine him. 100%.
Okay. I mean, look, this is it. This is why, like, Pirlo lasts so long, because he just moves around in his little square and he doesn't have to run. Because he just moves where he needs to be. And that's why, I'm going to do a bit of a daft comparison, but that's why Djorkaeff lasted so long. That's why he did so well at Bolton. He didn't have to run anywhere because he was in the right positions the whole time. That is, when you can see a footballer have that way of thinking and they can preempt the whole play or they manage the whole play, it's just bloody incredible.
How long did Frank Worthington last at Bolton?
I don't know. I think he's about there 3 years, I think.
And did he, was it for Bolton he scored that goal where he flicks it over his head and volleys it?
Yeah, against Ipswich.
Oh, mate, obviously you weren't there, but.
No, it happened in 78. Of course I went. I was in bloody born.
you weren't even a twinkle in your father's
eye. Exactly. Exactly.
Great. Okay. Well, we'll have to call it time.
Yeah, my mum's calling me for my tea.
Yeah, exactly. So we shall reconvene on, when would you say?
Probably Sunday night, wouldn't you? Saturday night, I'm in the Working Men's Club with Big Paul.
Oh, aye. Excellent.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big time. Yeah, with all the lads, all the Chelsea boys who will probably be harping on about the Europa League win. But yes, I'm in the Working Men's Club. Yule West Working Men's Club. £2.80 a pint. Great entertainment. Probably have a late license on Saturday.
If anyone wants to come and chat, you're like Rory Smith, aren't you? You're revealing ways.
No, yeah, I can only sign two people on my membership. The amount of people that listen to this will be 400 cups out the door. But yeah, we'll do it on Sunday. Do it on Sunday night.
Excellent, mate. All right, dude. Right. Thank you very much. And I shall
look Later, everyone.
See ya. See you later, everyone. Thanks for listening and thanks for your continued support. It really does mean a lot to us when you... you know, when you interact with the show, and we love all of our fans, and we're going to try and do more meetups in the future for everyone that's asking.
Any questions, comments, tweet us.
Yeah, just tweet us and we'll be sure to discuss them in the next episode. But from me and Gareth, it's bye-bye.